welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast today. Hear not this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And this week, we have been looking at lessons from the book of Jonah. And the spiritual lessons we've looked at thus far are the perils of disobedience, and of course, on the opposite of that, there are blessings to obedience. We see also that God uses imperfect vessels as channels of His truth. None of us are perfect, but that does not limit God from using imperfect, flawed vessels. He is in the process of working on each one of us. He's molding us as the master potter, vessels of clay, to bring us forth as vessels of honor in the house of the Lord. And we see also in this book the breadth of God's love and mercy. And that's something we all need to learn. We need to understand in a greater and greater measure that God loves all peoples. He loves all men, no matter how wicked or how evil they may be. He's not willing that any one, even the most wicked, should perish and be sent from His presence in everlasting damnation. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the entire theme of this book shows that the God of the Jews, of the Hebrews, has concern for the whole world because He was dealing specifically with the most wicked city of Jonah's time, who were vowed enemies of the Jews, and they hated each other. And so we see in this fourth chapter that we've been looking at God dealing with His with sinners, His mercy to them, and also how He dealt with His servant. And even though Jonah was disobedient, God still delivered him from death. And yet, even though he does obey the Lord, yet we see that in him there's still a carnal spirit. He's envious. He was envious of his prophetic reputation. He prophesied Nineveh's destruction, and sure enough, they repented, and that made him appear, quote-unquote, to be a false prophet, because what he prophesied didn't happen, because the Lord wanted to spare those who would turn to Him, and they did at his preaching. And so he was mightily used of God, but he was still carnal, envious, resentful of God's mercy, and he definitely had a wrong spirit, even though he was unquestionably a prophet. And we see this even in the Gospels. There are some glimpses of God's servants who don't have the right attitude. They don't understand God's heart, and that's why God wants us to grow, I believe, this year especially, in greater and greater closeness and intimacy to the Lord, to understand and know His heart. We see an example just to illustrate this in the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 11 through 16. And it's the parable of a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard, and he did that at various hours of the day. And those that came at the 11th hour, they also received the same wages that someone who'd worked all day received. They received a penny. And verse 11 says, when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last, those that were hired at the very end, have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So that's a very powerful lesson, parable that Jesus illustrated about those who even have desired to work for him could have a wrong spirit. And then, of course, we see a classic example out of the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 51 through 55. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, that's of course referencing Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53, but they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, now you remember, they had a nickname from Jesus, the sons of thunder. They said, Lord, wilt thou command that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? You see, they had scriptural precedence. But listen to what Jesus responded. In that following verse, he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Does that mean, as in these two instances I shared with you, that God is unjust, that he's not mindful of those who are disobedient, that he's not mindful of those who are laboring all, you know, in the heat of the day for him? Of course not. But we still have to have an understanding of his heart. If we will willingly labor for the Lord, sacrifice for him, we will in no wise lose our reward. We can be certain of that. He is a fair and a just God who keeps a very good set of books. So we need never fear in that area. But many Christians, like Jonah, they obey God out of sheer necessity, but they have no joy in the will and purposes of God. Jonah obeyed from a powerful sense of duty, and of course also he'd been chastised in a rather dramatic way, being in a whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, the first time ever. That's an extraordinary experience to go through. But he had not joyfully entered into the mind and heart of his Lord. And so, as we go back to Jonah, we see his complaint. Let me turn back to the book of Jonah now. He was displeased exceedingly, it says in verse 1, and he prayed to the Lord, and he said, Lord, this is just exactly what I was afraid was going to happen. They repented. You're a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger. You repented of the evil. And now, Lord, just take my life. It's better for me to die than live. And verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? He's really asking him, hey, Jonah, take a look at where you're at right now. What was his complaint? He saw perhaps what he didn't expect to see. He feared it, but there was Nineveh, this terribly wicked city, in sackcloth and ashes. And beloved, we're not much different from Jonah. We often mix our own selfish motives with the purposes of God, and as a result, we bring confusion to our own souls. There are thousands of well-meaning Christians who are being shipwrecked because they set a course based on their own opinions and will, and then they think God is honor-bound to conform to their plans. You know, he'd been crying 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now that God was going to spare the city, what would they think of him as a prophet? I mean, he all that he preached didn't happen. And we're not much use to the Lord's service until we're willing to become fools for Christ. It's simply our job to obey and trust. That's the important thing. That's God, all God is asking of us, and leave the results to him. And so what do we see in verse 2? He prayed unto the Lord, and he said, it was not this my saying when I was yet in my country. And he declared, he understood the kind of God that he is. He's a God of mercy and kind, great kindness, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Praise God. And so if his heart, it said he was exceedingly displeased. He was very angry. If his heart was filled with anger towards the Lord, how could he pray? Well, really, you can. We just grouse. We complain. And if we truly open our hearts to God, he will make the crooked straight. In Jonah's prayer, there's a revelation, there's self-honesty, a true admission of where his heart was at. He said, I fled, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. And he's saying, even though I prophesied its destruction, because you're merciful, you'd forgive them, and my preaching would be in vain, and I would be mocked for my efforts and for my trouble. And so that's where he was at. But we see in that second verse a beautiful his testimony. He was describing the Lord correctly. There's a beautiful description of God's character. Our God is slow to anger. He's quick to forgive. Some today despise the great kindness of God. They weary his patience. And it is because he's slow to anger that many have not received the just rewards of their deeds. But beloved, when he does strike, when he does move, it will be the blow of the Almighty. You know, the word says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so God is the wheels of justice may turn slow of God's justice, but they do turn. And God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And then, of course, we see Jonah's foolish request. Again, that's a manifestation of self, of self-pity. It'd be better for me. He had faith mingled with self-pity. He had hope for the world to come. He knew that if he died, he'd be with God. Yet, he didn't want to go living in his present life. And beloved, sometimes we can get so burdened down, so oppressed, so overwhelmed with all the issues we were dealing with that we sometimes say, Lord, it'd just be better. Won't you just take me home? I felt that way at times, and if you're honest, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, the battles have been heavy, you may have felt that too. And so that's not wisdom, and God will, you know, let's hope he doesn't honor that prayer, because we want to fulfill his purposes for us, don't we? I know I do, and I'm sure that's your desire. Well, I see the time has flown by again, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.